Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It's time now for Ghost Raps Radio. Here's Big Ray.
Radio, and this is Ray. I'm, formerly of the Big Ray network there with the Ghost Rap Show. So now we have Steve Galante, Visual Paranormal Investigations, on with us, and Tracy Helvey, with formerly of the Raps RI team. Paracult Specialist Tracy. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty here, of course, with the programming, so hopefully you can hear me. And we're going to have Dana DeVito, Dawn DeVito, going to be checking in with us later. She's our newest cast member, and what we're going to do is I'm going to have our Ghost Rap Haunted Road segment, roads that you may not want to drive down. Steve is going to do his paranormal pop quiz, and Tracy's going to be doing, of course, witches, friend or foe. And Dawn tonight's going to be doing Chronicles of the Paranormal, which is our news segment here on the Ghost Rap Show. So we're going to be doing all that here before long. And Dana Landers is supposed to be checking in with us. He wrote it's a fictional book called The Veil of Veronica, and he's supposed to be checking in. However, we've had difficulty contacting Dana, so we hope he's okay and everything is all right there in Massachusetts where he's at. And I've got two computers going here, and fortunately, both of them are screwing up this evening. The call-in line is 323-580-5703. If things, of course, settle down here on the show and everything starts working, which, of course, it isn't. Also, some of the folks from GWX Wrestling, headquartered here in Virginia, is going to be calling in with us as well, and we'll be learning about what's going on in the wrestling arena, so to speak. And Glenn, formerly of the RIP team, he's one of referees down there. I've been to several of their shows. Some of their events, I should say, down in Hopewell. They just had one here in Richmond not long ago. And this thing is absolutely not doing anything it should be doing. So let's let me get over here to this and see what happens here. Let's see. Steve and I have been talking a lot. He's put up a video of five investigations, I guess part of the top five pieces of evidence there in that video, and you can go to visualparanormal.com or on Facebook, Visual Paranormal Investigations, and there's links there, of course. So you can go check out his videos. And Dawn is not going to be checking in until about 10 o'clock with the Chronicles. And I just love it when I have two computers going and none of them are working. So I know we have callers on the line, so hang in there and we'll see what's going on here eventually, I hope. And I hate dead time. Also reached out to Matt and Dennis of CPR. they're going to be heading down to the Parafest 2013 up in the starts with a B up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So that's a couple weeks down the road, which is of course September 6, 7, and 8. So CPR Dennis and CPR Matt, CPR Dennis from here in Richmond metro area, and Matt from up in Chicagoland, they're going to be heading up to Parafest. I was going, but there's health issues and things along that line that come into play whenever I have to travel, and it really makes it quite difficult for me to do those long-distance traveling things. So I've decided that I'm not going to be making that trip, and we'll let Matt and Mark, they're going to be our eyes in the field. So they'll be reporting to us as to what's going on up at the Parafest on September 6, 7, and 8. All right, and let me see, I have some people here, bringing them on, hopefully, and, all right, Tracy, you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How y'all doing?
Excellent. Thank you. Doing well here. And let's see, we got Tracy on the line at that. And let me see here. Dana is calling me on my personal line. All right. Hold on a second, folks.
Yeah, Trace, you there?
Yeah, hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I didn't know if I was on. You know, I figured I'd get to say hello to you.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of difficulties here tonight for some reason.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of problems with the computers or whatever. I don't know what the deal is, but we'll get it all straightened out and get this thing rolling pretty soon. Okay, I think Ray has got Dana on the line. At least that's what he said. And so he should be coming on shortly. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Trace.
No, sir. He said he's on his personal line.
Well, I don't want people to be sitting around listening to dead air. What's going on with you, Trace?
Are we actually on air right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I thought it was just me and you talking. Sorry about that. Oh, nothing here. Same old thing. I think tonight I'm going to concentrate my part of the show on maybe listing some of the, I guess the witchcraft you hear about how stones helps out. And they say stones have a healing nature. And what stones do what and what they're meant for and what their healing natures are, and I'm going to do a few of those.
And that also links into crystals too, no?
Yes, it can. Sure
and
does.
It's funny, I got into collecting crystals not for any psychic or paranormal reason. I just got into collecting them because I like them.
Right.
And.
Hey guys, sorry. That was
there you go.
Thanks for pitching in there. I probably should have kept him and just merged the calls, but he's going to be calling in. Let's see here. Who's on the line with us? Last four of your phone number ends in 6522.
Hey there, folks. It's Neil Sharkey from GXW.
Hey, Neil. Yeah, this is. I was talking about that just a few minutes ago. Yeah, I'm glad this thing booted up. All right, so Neil's with GXW. I've been, like I say, down at a couple of the events down in Hopewell. Y'all just had one down here in Richmond. And so go ahead, Neil, introduce yourself, and let's chat for a minute.
Yes, indeed. As I said, my name is Neil Sharkey. My nickname is the Manager of Champions. Been involved in the pro wrestling industry for almost 21 years. Traveled all up and down the Mid-Atlantic, the East Coast, and it's been quite an adventure. Something I'll never take out and trade for anything in the world. And right now, doing a lot of good stuff with GXW, trying to make sure that company is getting the notoriety that it deserves. Of course, GXW is based right here in the Richmond, Virginia area. We have one training school in the Richmond area. We're happy to say we're starting to expand. We're getting ready to open another training facility in Stewart's Draft and looking to expand from there. We've got a ton of shows going on, starting with this coming Saturday. It's a fan appreciation show. It's actually a free show at the Jewelry Coin and Exchange in Ashland, Virginia. And that's headlined with Martin Stanley Fuqua, the GXW heavyweight champion. He'll be defending against the number one contender, Gordon Braswell. So we've got a lot of great stuff coming up down the pike as well.
That up in Ashland, that's on 54, isn't it?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay, right in downtown.
Yeah, that's right. It's a noon bell time. It's an early start. So we're looking forward, hopefully, to see some folks from Randolph-Macon College down there and all the good folks in Ashland. We've also have on Wednesday, August 28th, in Chesterfield, part of the Chesterfield County Fair, GXW, is going to be at the grand stage there. That's headlined by a legendary figure in the wrestling business, one half of the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton. He'll be going after the winner of the Martin Stanley-Gordon Braswell match in the main event of that show. So we're looking forward to a huge crowd there in Chesterfield. They normally draw hundreds and hundreds of people to the wrestling show there each year. So GXW's proud to be a part of that.
And is Ringo going to be, is he heading up the training?
Yes, indeed. Johnny Ringo, yes. Johnny Ringo was actually my trainer years ago. He got me into the wrestling business. God bless him. And here he is still today, years later, still honing his craft and teaching other folks who want to break into pro wrestling. So, yeah, Johnny will be there most definitely, and he's still very much a part of GXW.
So. Yeah, Johnny is a nice guy.
He sure is. But he's also tough when he needs to be. especially, you know, pro wrestling isn't for sissies. It's not something just anybody can do. It's very taxing, both physically and mentally, and only the strong survive in pro wrestling. There's no doubt about it, and Johnny is very good at what he does.
Yeah, the body does take a beating. I remember the first event I went to in the military, and it was a place packed, of course, and some of the old guys were out there from, you know, Wahoo McDaniel and, I can see their Wahoo and, what's his name, the Cowboy.
Blackjack anyway. Mulligan, maybe?
Yeah, Blackjack Mulligan, yeah. And Blackjack's a big guy. And I met him and a couple of the other guys over in Roanoke. I'm from up in the Bonnetot, Roanoke area, and got to hang out with them a little bit. And it was cool hanging out with the guys there. You got some really nice guys. They're humble dudes, but when they hit the ring, they're all business. And that's they are tough.
You're absolutely right about that.
That ring is not as soft as some people might think. That thing is
about that ring at all. People think that it's like a trampoline or that it's cushioned or anything. No, indeed, that the
wood
is not meant to take the kind of punishment that the pro wrestlers dish out to each other, I tell you. But it's something we love. It's a labor of love. And for people that understand it, we don't have to explain what we do. For people that don't understand it, no explanation will do. It's just kind of the way it is in our business. But we do it for our fans and for the people who love this business. And like I said, I wouldn't change a thing. 21 years in this business, I wouldn't change a thing I did.
Yeah. So. And that's kind of like us in the paranormal community. We have the same kind of thing. Steve was told the other day, just like I've been told before, we're doing the devil's work and that kind of thing. And even people who, you know, my thing with it is, well, you know, religion preaches supernatural stuff, really. I mean, when you get down to it, and so, well, you got to believe in it in faith. Well, we actually, that's why I tell them, we actually show that there is life after death in our investigations, what we capture in video, our cameras, our voice recorders, thermal imaging. But you can sit there and show a non-believer all day long this evidence, and they're not going to believe it no matter what. And then the other people that do believe will accept it, and they're okay with it. But I think a lot of it has to do with their belief system. And so it doesn't matter. I came to the decision a long time ago. I really don't care what other people believe. I know what is a fact, and the events are fun to go to. I've had a great time with everyone, and everybody is very humble, but when they come out, it's awesome. I like that.
There you go.
I got to ask you, have you ever had a paranormal experience?
True to yourself, right?
What's that?
I haven't. I do know of some friends of mine who have said that they've had paranormal experiences. I haven't experienced one personally, but I do know someone who has, and he very much believes in it, and I definitely believe that he believes. And I respect everybody's opinion. I respect everybody's beliefs, and I will never be one to tell somebody that they're lying or that it's not true just because I can't see the facts. Myself, you know, I think there's explanations for everything, and there's so much more out there that the world, you know, that we haven't tapped into yet. And so and mine's like an umbrella. If it's not open, it's worthless. So.
That's good. I like that analogy.
I have a few zingers in my day.
When is the next event coming up? And give you a website, if you would.
Absolutely. Next event, there's a ton coming up, but I'll just hit the highlights. This Saturday, again, everybody come on down to the Jewelry Coin and Exchange. That's on Route 54 in Ashland. It's a free show. It's a fan appreciation show. And that's headlined by Martin Stanley Fuqua defending the GXW heavyweight title against Borden Braswell. Big show coming up this coming Wednesday, August 28th. That's the Chesterfield County Fairgrounds. The price of the admission into the fair is all you pay. The show itself is free, just the price of admission to the fair. We have Ricky Morton, a gentleman I've managed on and off for many, many years, the Barbarian, former WWE and WCW superstar. We got the ladies are going to be there. In Chesterfield, and so much more. Huge card coming up there. As always, we're going to be stopping off at Aurora in Richmond. Our monthly stop there. The next show is September 14th. Is our next time at Aurora in downtown Richmond. That's on a Saturday, bell time, 6 o'clock. That's actually going to be a Mardi Gras street fight between Gordon Braswell and Martin Stanley Fuqua. And also for the GXW Television Championship, we got Ethan Cross defending against his number one challenger, TJ Jackson. Also on the 21st of September, we're going to be at the Fairfield Commons Mall. And lots more heading into October, all the way through the end of the year. Hopewell, we've got a big one in Prince George High School Gym on October 26th. Ricky Morton, the Barbarian, and many more are going to be there. We're heading into West Virginia come November. Just, like I said, tons going on. And for all the information, all that's GXW, you can log on to our website at gogxw.com. That's gogxw.com. And also we've got, I want to also mention all the, we have our great TV show, GXW Revolution. That is airing on Fox 35.2. That's on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. We're on Comcast Channel 3 at noon. That's in the Petersburg, Hopewell, and Prince George area. Very soon we are going to be signing on to Star TV 44, and that's covered in the Martinsville and Danville area, Saturdays at 10 p.m., and we're also with WJAL. We air at midnight, and that station actually covers three states, West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, so GXW is growing by the day, and I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be on here with you today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, same here. And I've had fun at the events. We'll be there Saturday. We'll be, as a matter of fact, I'm supposed to be over there at the Chesterfield County Fair, like awesome. Neil was saying. That's next Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
The Virginia Casket Cruisers are going to be over there, and we're supposed to be over there hanging out with them. So I'll see you Saturday and Wednesday for sure. And then more than likely
great.
The 14th, I should be down there hanging out because I like to see some good butt whipping going on. And,
there you go. We'll have plenty of that to go around.
Yeah, and a little extra. And Johnny, Ringo from the old days will probably be down there hanging out. And so come on out, folks, and to GXW Wrestling, and you get to hang out with some really cool folks. We'll be there, and we'll have a definite good time. And
you
so GXW.com, right?
You got it. GoGXW.com.
All righty.
Check
well, thank you,
Neil.
Check
the site out and come check us out.
We'll
all right. Thank you
there.
So much, Big Rick. All right.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to it.
All right, bro. See you soon.
You bet.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. You too.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Sir. Bye-bye. All right. There you go, Neil of GXW. It is really fun. Been down there many times to their events. And so right here in Richmond, well, they're going to be up in Ashland on the main drag right there in Old Town, Ashland, Virginia, Saturday. And then next Wednesday, the Chesterfield County Fair, I think, kicks off this Saturday as well. But they're going to be over there. So this Saturday, like you said, it's free. So if you hadn't been able to go check out some fun wrestling hangout, they got plenty of popcorn, drinks, memorabilia, and you get to meet the wrestlers, hang out with them. So come on out and watch GXW Revolution on the tubes on Saturday as well. And there's Star 1044 and then you got Comcast, that kind of thing. So make sure you check those folks out down there, and we will be hanging out with them. And we have Dana on the line here. Let me see if I can boot him up. It's a little slow this evening. All right. Tracy, Steve, can you all hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you. You could be a little louder, right?
You're fine.
All right. Good. Okay. Let's see if I can tighten this thing up a little bit. All right. Yeah, I don't feel like projecting too much tonight. Sorry. It's been a long day. Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So that was Neil with GXW Wrestling, headquartered right here in Richmond, Virginia, and we appreciate him coming on with us. Let's see here. What do we have going on? Dana is still booting up. I don't know what's going on with that, so we'll get him in here in a minute. And we're doing okay there. So
Hi, this is Steve from Visual Paranormal Investigations. I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Paranormal Pop Quiz, right here on Ghost Raps Radio.
All right, Steve, let's go ahead and get the quiz.
All right, the quiz is kind of based on what we were talking about last week.
Okay.
Which was when you go to certain locations, as you were mentioning, now you experienced an attachment.
Yeah.
It was a very bad attachment that lasted a number of months and made you very sick.
Yeah.
That's correct, right?
Correct. Very, very ill.
Okay.
Like Tracy
told
me.
Yep. And what I was thinking was in the places, not so much just in places that are investigated, this could happen. An attachment could happen anywhere. As you pointed out, you could be visiting great-grandma's grave in the cemetery and have something attached to you. It's possible.
Yep, I believe it's possible.
Well, my question is, we do a lot of investigations. We go into these places, and then if you remember last week, Ed brought up the haunted collector who talks about objects that get attachments over time.
Right.
Now, this isn't over time, but if we're doing investigations and continually using the same equipment,
right,
like I have a favorite camera that I always use, and I have a favorite recorder that I always use.
Right.
And I've captured some good EVPs on the recorder, and I've captured some interesting phenomena on the camera. Now, is it possible for these things, these entities, to attach, I'm wondering, to any of the stuff we're bringing to these investigations, any of the equipment?
And that is a big question.
That's the quiz for this week. Is that possible? I mean, they're not. I tend to think, me personally, that it couldn't happen is because they're not exposed to the environment long enough.
Mm.
Although I'm basing that just on, you know, really my own opinion. But it seems that objects that are attached, have attachments connected with them, have been in the location for quite a while.
Yeah.
Or moved out of a location.
Yeah. Or it was someone's personal possession that they, like a watch back in the day, you know, a watch was a status symbol. And
that's right, the gold watch, right?
Right. And matter of fact, they used to give them away when people retired. And so somebody thought to put a strap on it. Hey, I can put that sucker on my arm. But anyway, you know, you have that type of object where they really loved their watch. It was a status thing, whatever. You know, it could have been a ribbon for the hair, whatever it was. So there could have been a familiar attachment to that. And I thought about that back in the day, you know, we'd be doing investigations because I used to say, well, did these guys really have the Book of the Dead, like in Beetlejuice or whatever they called it? Because it seemed like we used to get it sounded like the same voice saying, no. Or,
yep. Or out.
Out.
That's a popular
right,
one.
Out.
Get out.
Exactly. And it seemed like it sounded like the same daggone entity every time. So I was like, are we getting individual hits on different properties, or are we getting the same attachment to this article or item of equipment, and we get to the next one and he's just repeating himself? And I used to debate that issue. What do you think, Tracy? You're the cult specialist, intuitive guy.
Well, I think it's possible. I think being recording devices, it's less likely. And I don't really know if I have the justice, you know, really the backing to say that, but or to back that up. But I think being recording devices, you tend to, you know, it's almost like if you're talking about cooking, the item has to be kind of like, what would you say, sauteed? Like
steeped
said.
In the location.
Yeah, it's more like a watch is a personal thing, a personal effect. That somebody wears on a daily basis. But I tend to agree with Steve in that sense. Just kind of thinking about it is yeah, we pull the equipment out and we use it, and then we put it back in, and it doesn't get any more interactive than that with the environment. So I really say it is probably possible, but it's unlikely.
Okay.
And that's kind of my feeling on it too, because I've often thought about it with, in particular, with the spirit box. Because they're manipulating, theoretically, the white noise, and using the white noise to communicate through to transmit their voices electronically. I mean, you would think that would require some kind of a focus. The same thing, some kind of a focused concentration or consciousness on that object, either the spirit box or a recorder. So that might make up for maybe it not being steeped in a location or closely associated with a person throughout their life. You know, that's a possibility, but I tend to agree with Trace. I don't think they can attach to or would attach to objects that are just brought in on an investigation and never seen again.
Yeah.
I kind of have the thought of, is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? No.
Exactly.
That's kind of the way I look at it, because, you know, I think, you know, you can't use it like a blanket statement, because maybe there is that one entity that could say, okay, I'm on board, here I am, and jumps into it, so to speak.
You know,
but, yeah.
I never really, I got something that's kind of weird. When Haunted Collector first came out, now I'm not going to say anything bad about anything, I'm not going to say anything good about anything. Everyone has their own opinions.
Right.
Everyone likes their own stuff, everyone draws their own conclusions. But to tell you the truth, I was kind of like Steve said the first show, I had my doubts. It's like, now, you're telling me every week that he's going to find something in a haunting that's going to actually prove to be an attachment to an object?
Yeah.
I said, how boring of a TV show can this be? And obviously it didn't end up that way. It ended up being very popular, and it ended up being a great show and a great concept that I would really never come up with, for myself. I'd never come up with, you know, do I have something here to actually say that something can be attached to every haunting or most all hauntings, and it's really amazing what they've done with the show. But when that first came out, I had my doubts. I was like, no, this ain't possible.
Yeah.
Well, with anything, can I jump in for anything on TV? You got to remember, TV is essentially an entertainment medium. They're making television shows. They're not making documentaries.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying they're faking anything. As a matter of fact, I believe in many cases they're not. They're actually capturing evidence, because we've caught evidence that's very similar. For example, the things that have been captured on Ghost Adventures or any of those shows, do they play it up a little bit for television? Without a doubt. I think they kind of fudge a little bit with the facts to make it more entertaining or a little bit more sensational. And that's, that's what I believe. I mean, I cut them slack because they are an entertainment medium.
Yeah. And we actually have had two of the cast members on the show in the past. And we haven't had Frank on, but Jesselyn, we had her on. And that was my thing, too. I saw one of the shows a couple of them that kind of impressed me. They actually found a handgun that was in the dirt under the house. So some of the things, how they found it on, and it kind of got me thinking. I watch these shows and kind of look at them as a training-type device. You know, well, we could be using that. That's possible. We could be doing that. That's a good idea. And then it's like, well, that's a piece of crap of an idea. We're definitely not going to do that, you know, depending on the, you know what I mean when I say these things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard. I'm the same way. I was like, well, you know, there's no way in hell he could go in on an investigation and find something every time with an attachment, because I can't think of too many that we've gone that we could actually say, well, there's something attached to that nail in the wall, and that's what's causing your haunting. We've never carried anything away, have we, Tracy?
No, but really, to tell you the truth, we haven't really looked for that. I mean, when you go to debunk something, of course, you look at what could be causing it, but that really doesn't come to mind. It could be that vase that's sitting on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, or it could be that genie bottle, or, you know, you really don't look at it that way. When you go to an investigation, I guess you're almost like you're looking at everything but the objects.
Yeah, I did used to do that. I started looking for stuff like that. I was like, well, what could it be? But, you know, we're doing a lot of historical properties like Steve, and, you know, you can't go in there and say, well, you know, that's probably old Uncle Joe sitting in that chair. Would you like us to carry that chair that was made out, you know, back in the 1600s away from here, and so we can remove that haunting for you? You know, we'd like to really have that chair, dude. That's a nice antique we could be sitting up in the front room. So that's what they're thinking, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and I did used to look for that. That's why, you know, I initially started doing investigation. We just went to an investigation, and it came to me one day, well, why aren't we sweeping, you know? Why aren't we using dowels and rods? Why aren't we using the meters, the K2s and whatever to try to find something? And a lot of times the dowels and rods and the K2s or whatever we're using would actually hit in the same area.
Yeah.
But it would be like a area in the front room in the middle of the floor where there's nothing at. Over dressers sometimes and over beds, like when we're down at Weston Plantation down in Hopewell, over that bed where they call Grandma's room or whatever, over that bed, the K2 meter would work. It would go off. The dowels and rods would cross, and it looked like the bed would sink. And Steve brought this up, you know, well, back in the day it meant when he said sleep tight tonight, it was the beds, they used rope. They would make a web under the bed or crisscross or whatever. You'd tighten that sucker down every now and then so the bed didn't sag underneath of you. But the mattress was stable. It couldn't sink, but it would look like somebody maybe sat up there on the bed. Or maybe it was just a lucky mattress and settled over time. But we did capture stuff there like that. Steve, on your investigations, have you come across where you thought it was a item that was attached?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I think on most of our investigations, I think it was the location itself that was the cause of the attachment.
Right.
Either somebody was emotionally invested in the location. For example, Ruth Poynance at the Selma Mansion, that was her home and her family's home for generations through marriage. Okay? So mm-hmm. I would think that was where she lived her life. She had her rose garden. She was very attached to the place. It meant everything, I believe, to her. So that would be the attraction. I don't think it's any one particular thing in any of the places that we've been to, although in Museum Village, which is has a collection of antiques from the turn of the century, everything from early steam-driven motors to early trains, early electrical devices. It's got an old schoolhouse, got an old pharmacy, with everything intact from that period and from that location. That's possible because when we were doing an investigation in the livery, it's kind of funny. We were by one of the old hearse. It was an old hearse that was in there. As a matter of fact, they had a number of them. And the hearse. I'm hearing a ringing. What's that?
All right, hold on. Yeah, sorry.
Is that a call in?
We're having a tough time with okay.
Please leave your message for
go ahead, Steve.
Okay, I was saying that we'll buy the old hearse, and there was a number of them, but we wanted one in particular. And I said, was there anyone here who was carried to their final rest in this hearse? And I got a voice on EVP. It's kind of a funny answer. It says, I really don't feel so good. Now, that might have been somebody attached, either the driver, could have been somebody being carried. I don't know who it was. But it's kind of ironic that it would say, I don't really don't feel so good in a hearse. I would guess you didn't. Anybody there?
Well, you got me, Steve. I'm listening.
What happened? Ray dropped out?
Ray.
We're having a lot of problems tonight.
Yeah, Ray, are you there? Did Ray drop off?
Yeah, I think
he
did.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but so I was saying that you know, that's kind of ironic that we got the voice saying, I really don't feel so good, and it was by the hearse. So it could have been maybe a driver, maybe a guy who, that was his job.
Yeah.
He drove the hearse with the horses and did that for years, and eventually he died, and maybe he was attached to the hearse itself.
Yeah. Hold on a second, fellas. Dana, if you can hear me, hang up and call back in. For some reason, this the computer system here is not recognizing you. I did try to call you a minute to just merge, but got your voicemail. So if you can hear me, Dana, hang up, call back in. We'll get you right on. Okay, so, yeah, I could see where Hearst is. Now, I've heard some people say investigators and mediums, if you want to call them mediums, say that there's really no ghost in graveyards, just the bodies there. But I kind of beg to differ with that. But what do you think? First, we'll go with Steve.
Okay, I'll tell you the truth. I think, like I said before, like with any entity or spirit, I think each one is as individual as a fingerprint.
Right.
And when it comes to, like, a graveyard or a cemetery, there's a possibility that there may be a spirit there that's still active, so to speak, to that gravesite. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out. I mean, they say that, you know, most of the people in the cemeteries, is the popular belief is those spirits are at rest. Well, everybody winds up in a cemetery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully.
Well, I tell you, my belief is that spirits are as common as the air that you breathe. And we
yeah,
have spirits in us at all times. Now, a ghost or entity is something different, but your spirit, you know, what you're born with, what you die with, remains forever. So I don't really believe that the cemeteries, there's no spirits there, because in my eyes, it's wherever you are, his spirits are there. It could be anywhere.
Right. And, well, Tracy and I used to have, where we lived, was not too far apart, different houses we had, of course. And Tracy told me about this cemetery, and I used to ride past it all the time. It was actually closer to my house than his, and I never knew it was a cemetery. You know, there's a side road that goes up beside it. I never went up through there. I never had any reason to. It's kind of in a populated area, sort of, but we went down there one night, and I think we had some interactions. We did some EMF session kind of thing, EVPs, took photographs, we caught, if I remember correctly, didn't we come up with some pretty good orb shot?
Yeah, I really think we did.
And, but you look at it, it's all overgrown, it's a huge cemetery, but you ride past it, you would never think it's, I rode past it for years, 10 years at least, and never knew it was a cemetery there. Because it's overgrown, it's not taken care of, you know, down there's, well, like Steve was saying, you know, there's people buried everywhere,
And it's on the side of a hill. It's like on the side of a mountain in a way, and it's just, it's like you're looking back in the woods, but really it's actually a cemetery.
Yeah, you never know.
I was go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to jump in and say I was visiting a friend who lived in upstate New York, and he has a piece of property that borders an old farm, and there's all woods up behind where his house is. And he discovered one day walking through the woods into this field, it opened up into a little field, and there was a family plot there from the 1740s.
Wow.
Now, that's old, and they were Dutch names.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was what was the name? Hummel, Mayor? I'm asking my wife. Yeah, it was Hummel. They were the Hummel family. And that was a strange experience because it was a fan. You could see it was a family plot. They all had the same names.
Yeah.
And it was about six or seven tombstones. They were all grown over. A lot of them were worn where you couldn't really read much of what was carved in there. But we were able to get the name off one of them. And the others look like this same last name, so we're assuming it's a family plot. But that would have been an interesting place. I never got back up there to just see if, by chance, I could, you know, see if there was any activity there. Because you would think it was forgotten and then discovered and recognized. Maybe there might be some kind of activity from that.
Well, you know, this cemetery that me and Ray's talking about, actually, it's a very prominent, it used to be one of the only black cemeteries in Richmond. And actually, I don't know if you ever heard of her, but Maggie Walker is buried there.
Oh, he's buried there.
Maggie Walker is, yeah. She was one of the prominent black ladies in Richmond area here. So,
speaking about prominent people, Dana, this phone is, I don't know what's going on with it. Dana, sorry, one more time, dude. Hang up, call me on my personal number, my cell phone, and I'm just going to have to bring you through that way. So, Dana, please hang up. Sorry for the inconvenience, folks, and to Dana, but call me on my cell, and I'll get you through that way. For some reason, this thing is acting up for a new computer. It's really torquing me off. But then again, it's probably just blog talk. Like Steve was, or Tracy was saying, it's a prominent black cemetery here. A lot of folks, here we go. Hold on just a second there.
I think we're finally getting through to Dana.
Yeah. Okay, Swan.
Yeah, is anybody on online still?
Okay, sorry. Okay, I got you on this number. I'm going to call you right back, okay, because it's not letting me merge. So I'm going to hang up. I'm going to call you right back. Make sure you pick up, okay, at this number.
All right, I'm going to talk to, can I talk to Tracy a bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Trace.
Yes.
So did you ever do any investigating in that cemetery?
Actually, yes, we did. Did quite a bit, mainly a lot of training investigations with a bunch of newer people, a bunch of different groups that I had met and wanted to do an investigation. The land is actually owned by the people now, by actually, I guess, a group. So it's really hard to get an invitation to come in there and do that or to get permission. But we've had a
historical society.
Huh?
I don't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to ask: is it a historical society that owns it?
No, it's not. It's actually it's more the I think the more the black societies around here, African American societies, and basically the land is owned by the people whose graves are there, their ancestors, and they just don't maintain it. And I mean, you could literally, it's like walking through the woods. You could just fall through the ground. I mean, it's just that littered with graves, and you really have to be careful. But you know, when we did investigations there, we would get a lot of we'd just be walking through, and I'd have a ghost box, which we may have a ghost box out of a little, you know, AM FM radio from Radio Shack.
A hack box,
right. And we'd be just walking through, and someone would have the box in their ear listening, and all of a sudden their name would be said just out of nowhere. I mean, it could be no activity for an hour, and all of a sudden it just started hitting, and it would hit for 5 minutes or so and then just go away. And you felt so fortunate that you were actually there, you know, for it to happen like that. But it was a lot of hit and miss there, but we did get a lot of good activity. And it's amazing, you know, some of the things we did get. So, but I haven't been up there in years.
But that's, you know, it's interesting you say that you're getting relevant names to people that are there being spoken.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that we always do. We always ask, you know, we tell our names, we introduce ourselves, and we ask, you know, during a session, a spirit box session, we usually wait a little bit, ask a few questions, and ask if you can mention one of the names of the people in the investigation. And we've gotten, actually, the last investigation we were at, it got a little nasty, but it did mention there were three of us in a basement area, and we were sitting in a particular order, doing a spirit box session. And
uh-huh.
It was Tina, Stephanie, and myself, and we said, can you tell one of our names or mention one of our names, one of the names of the people that are in the room, and it said Tina, Stephanie, and Steve in a row.
Well,
I'm back.
That happens a lot.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I can hear you.
Yeah. Yep. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep. So Dana's over.
Oh, that's Dana.
Hi, guys. It's about time.
Hi, Dana.
I think I'm calling this Cosmic Intervention.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What a horror show.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Yeah, I know. It's good to be here.
Yeah, we're going to get back to that story, Steve, because that is cool. But we got Dana on with us. Dana Landers, he's on Facebook, Dana Landers. And he's written a book called The Veil of Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And now, it's give everybody a premise of the story.
Okay. Sure, it's a bunch of stuff, actually. It's actually fiction blended in with truth. It's a lot of brutal murders of innocent kids. There's a worn-out old man. There's a demon, name of Charlie. I love this little guy who wants to be human. Of course, demons can't be human, but he fancies himself as human, so he walks around wearing his suit of some poor dead young girl. Three of the most evil, can I say bastards, you'll ever come across on this planet on either side. Let's see, two young spirits. I don't want to give what happened to them away. And one very naive and very much alive young woman who gets tossed and pushed into the world of the dead all come together in this 80-page story that promises to give you nightmares. Trust me. I had one woman write to me the other day. She just finished it. She said that she started it, and she figured she'd be proud of it, put it down, come back to it later. She said she couldn't. She shushed her husband away and her kid, and she took her 3 hours. She read the whole thing. Are you still there?
Yeah,
we're here.
I just heard something in my phone. You know, when you hang up on somebody,
uh-huh.
There's that little bell. I just heard that. Wow, I tell you what, the evil sucker that's been following me for years does not want me to do this.
Yeah.
I'll get to that if we have time. So she said that, you know, it entranced her so much that she just sat there and read the whole thing. She couldn't put it down. So I hope I did the premise right. I'm trying to do it kind of quick because I know we're getting late.
Yeah.
And there are three of us there. It's a very evil story. Very evil. There's a reason for that because I try, in my interpretation of life after death, I've been researching it for 40 years. So I try to show what happens to many people when they die, you know, those that are stuck on Earth especially. And there are three reasons why people are here. And don't forget, you guys realize that a spirit is not a ghost.
Right. I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. A spirit is just a free soul. Can come and go whenever they feel like it. These people that are here are ghosts. And like Tracy was saying, they're everywhere. And they are everywhere. They could be sitting next to you right now. You wouldn't know it unless they want you to know it.
Right.
And I go into detail about that. I go into detail of what happens when they die and where they go. And this poor young girl is pushed into the world of the dead. And she's not dead. She's alive. And she learns a lot about what happens to us. And these evil guys are trying to get the Veil of Veronica is actually an actual relic, a holy relic, if you all know that story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the Catholic tradition. And it's not a legend. They actually have a chapel of Veronica at the Vatican that holds this. And somebody steals it in the story back in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And this girl gets her hands on it because some old man stops her and asks her to hold his box for him. She has no idea what's in this thing.
Dana, you're breaking up really bad. Are you on the cell
phone?
Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. You got a little bit.
Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. It's been one of those nights, huh, Ray?
Well, it was.
Yeah, someone's got this show possessed for some reason tonight.
Absolutely. I think it's my guy. I really do, Tracy. I really do. I've had this... I messed with a Ouija board years ago, one time, and I've had many experiences since. And
what time is all it takes?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Yeah, you're breaking up real bad.
What time is all it takes?
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is crazy tonight, Ray.
This is wild.
Am I here?
Yeah. Is that Tracy talking?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. You're just breaking up really bad. Sorry, bud. Yeah, this is nuts. Could be. How's the weather in Virginia, right?
Good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a little overcast, but no storms or anything. They were calling for them, but of course, our weather people here suck. So.
Well, we got some freaky stuff going on in the weather.
Yeah.
I know my bank's internal systems went down earlier today. We couldn't take any money out.
Really?
The network went down. I've been having trouble trying to get on the show.
Yeah.
You know, through the internet, I can't get on, no matter what I try. It's been a freaky day.
Yeah, the system wouldn't let you on, but it let everybody else on. Family.
Yeah. I tried three times. Second time I was on for quite a while, and then it just said, you know, thanks for calling, and hung up on me. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
I'll
try.
Yeah, I know. We appreciate you doing that. And being
I appreciate you having me.
Having that stick-to-itiveness to do that. But a lot of people, and I don't really watch the news a lot because it's the same crap over and over, and we covered this, I think, last week. The news media sucks for what they call the mainstream. But what a lot of people don't know, there is a huge solar event that is taking place.
Yes. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and
I think that's what's going on.
When's the blue moon?
It's going to take down.
This weekend?
Sorry, what was you saying?
When's the blue moon?
Yeah, and it's a blue moon. But yeah, they're talking. You know, they're worried that this these solar flares that we're having could actually take out our electrical system, you know, our grid for, I think that's why they're not putting it out there. They don't want the public to freak it, you know, totally out.
Yeah,
because
they don't want panic.
Yeah, they're talking, if it does, worst case scenario, it could take months to get things back if it goes in and fries all the transistors and transformers and all this crap.
Can you imagine?
They're not really there, but I really think this huge solar event right now is really messing with more than what people think.
Yeah.
But so you've investigated the process of dying, going through.
Well, not the process itself. We all know what happens, you know, it's different for everybody. But I've read and read everything I could get my hands on and studied, paranormal investigators and people like Hans Holzer. I'm sure you guys are aware of him and stuff like that. Since I was a teenager, it's always fascinated me. So, of course, this is my interpretation. Mine isn't the Bible, so to speak. It's just what I see. And so I try to blend that with it within fiction to make it entertaining, but to also make some of those people aware that are not aware, that there can be people stuck here and why they're stuck here, because there are different reasons for that. Of course,
Sorry, Ray? Yeah, I couldn't hear anything, the last two sentences.
Okay. Because the reason, like I said, Vale of Veronica is fact and fiction. I'll back up just a little bit. The reason it's fact and fiction is because of the prologue. Can you still hear me?
Barely.
Yeah. Let me try to yell. How's that? Is that better?
It sounds like...
I'm yelling.
You're from Monaco.
Oh, that's crazy. I'm trying to think what else we could do.
Could I suggest you try a landline? Calling on the same number on a landline?
I don't have one, Steve.
Sure.
Who does anymore?
Yeah.
I wish I did.
Whatever you're doing right now, keep doing it.
Okay, I'm yelling.
Okay.
I'm interfering with my wife and my son, but that's okay. They'll have to.
Sorry.
I'll go outside, and maybe that'll help.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting in my house.
Okay.
If you hear a door creak, it's not a ghost. It's
okay.
Me.
I was hoping to have something we could talk about paranormal going on there.
That's just a crazy night. Those things happen. Especially like you were talking about the solar effects that are going on. Is this any better?
I hear you fine.
Okay, yeah. Steve, I hear you very well. Hi, Steve. Ray, can you hear me?
I'm having a hard time hearing Ray now.
Yeah, me too. Wow.
Well, this is something new, and it's radio for the deaf.
There.
Yeah.
Now we've done lost all together, and actually,
can we reset?
I think we lost Tracy here for a few minutes.
Tracy, are you still there?
No, I'm here. I can hear you great now.
Oh, I hear you good.
Okay. Now.
Hi, this is Dawn, just calling in.
Hi, Dawn.
It's Dawn.
Hey,
Hi, Dawn.
Oh, you can hear me. Good.
Hi, Dawn.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Hold
I'm
on,
good.
Dawn.
Okay.
We're just having a great, great old time.
Yeah.
I think we're getting played with by the spirit.
Dawn,
I really do.
So let me see. Where were we? Oh, the dying.
Okay. How's this, Ray? Hey, Steve, did you lose Ray again? Dawn, did you lose Ray?
No, I'm still here.
I'm here.
Dawn is here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't hear him at all.
Okay.
I can't hear Ray,
Ray?
Either.
Somebody talk to me.
Big
oh,
Ray.
There's Ray. Yep.
Okay. All right.
The way you can raise your volume, Ray?
I can talk louder.
Kick it.
That might help.
Dana?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Now we can hear you, whatever you're doing.
Okay. Just speaking. Okay. All right. I'll keep yelling. So where were we? So
we
I was
Hans Holzer going through the different processes.
Yeah. We all know, those who are involved in the paranormal world know that, that basically there are three types of ghosts that we do have on the planet. Those who are murdered.
Oh, he's gone.
Yep.
It's Trace, what'd you eat tonight? Is Tracy there? He's gone.
I hear
Dawn,
Steve.
What'd you have for dinner?
Let's see, I had stuffed chicken with broccoli and cheese.
That doesn't sound bad.
Pretty
I had
good.
Peppers.
Oh, I haven't had that in eons. They're going to think this is a recipe show.
Yeah, we're going to talk. How do you make yours?
I cheated.
I don't know if Ray's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Is Dana there?
I think Dana's gone into the ethers.
Daggone it. I'm getting ready to get them. You know what? I don't know what's going on, Dave. It's something just doesn't want Dana doing the show or something. We done lost.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
All right, y'all take it for a minute. Let me see what happens here.
So, Dawn.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Steve. Steve,
yes,
how you doing?
That's me.
How you doing? How you doing?
We're getting ready for our investigation on Saturday.
Oh, where are you going?
We're going to the Keith House in Graham Park in PA.
Nice.
And that's he was the a governor. And it was his daughter who supposedly haunts, her granddaughter supposedly haunts the
mm-hmm.
location. Her
right.
name was Elizabeth Ferguson. And she was married to Henry U. Ferguson, that was his name, her husband, who was a British loyalist. And after the Revolution, he just took off and left her high and dry and went back to England.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost everything, but she did have some political friends. Her father was a big doctor in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And they allowed her to live in the house, but she had a very kind of tragic life. And it's her spirit that is one of the spirits that's supposed to inhabit that the house, the Keith House.
Mm. Wow.
So we're going to be there, see what we find. And
that'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it should be different, you know. And then from there, we're eventually going to be doing Pennhurst.
And I'll be with you on that one.
Yeah, you'll be there.
Yep.
And, you know, that should be a fun night.
Oh, my gosh. I am so excited for that. Very excited.
Yeah, it's a change. I'd rather go to a, at least for me, it's a change. We've been doing a lot
mm-hmm.
of the historical locations.
Right.
And although this is historical, too, outside of Letchworth and Clinton Road, which we did, this has the same kind of a tragic background for a lot of the people that were kept there.
Right.
Or were patients there.
Okay.
So that should be interesting. So that,
yeah.
that I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to have a little bit darker energy than a lot of
mm-hmm.
these, because of the suffering that these
yeah.
people went through. So I think that's going to be a little bit darker.
Yeah. Did you ever hear of the old asylum that's in the Bronx? I think it's the Bronx or Brooklyn. I mean, you wouldn't
mean
even know
it. You don't mean Creedmoor, do you?
It's not, I mean, people wouldn't even know it's there. It's by a stream of some sort. This is an article I read a few months ago, and I meant to write it down, and I didn't. But it's in New York. It's Brooklyn or the Bronx, one of the two. And that's where they took, the really ill patients and kind of left them to die, basically. And they said there's so much greenery, grown up around it, unless you actually knew it was there, that people don't even realize that this building with all this amazing history.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. I'd like to.
Yeah, I will look that up. And if anybody who's listening knows what I'm talking about, call in.
Yeah,
and,
we can hardly get our guests to call in and actually get through tonight. But if anybody can do it through contact us somehow, maybe by carrier
yeah.
pigeon. Yeah, I'd like to know where that is myself.
Yeah, I was having a hard time logging into the Blog Talk Radio, so I'm not even logged in there. So if anybody wants to contact me, they have to contact me through Facebook or text me or come on to the call in.
Yeah, they can also ask questions if they have any questions. They can
right.
post them to the Visual Paranormal Investigations Facebook page.
Right.
And I could read them
mm-hmm. right.
and attempt to answer them. I don't know if I have the answer, but I'll try.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't know.
You know, that's so fun. It was so funny before Dana got off. There was a weird sound in the phone.
I heard it.
Did you hear that?
It sounded like a wind sound. Yeah, that I think is. I don't know what that is. I think it's the fact that he's doing it on a cell phone.
Oh, you know what? I bet you his calls are dropping.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's why it's always good. You know, people say, "Oh, why would you need a landline?" If you get an emergency, the landline keeps working.
Right. Right.
I'm back.
I think,
and get with Dana. We've been actually talking. He's clear as a bell on the phone.
Oh.
And this sucks. And for something, it's like it doesn't want to work. So he's going to try him one more time to the call-in number.
Okay.
Here at 323-580-5703. That's really, I don't know, something doesn't want him telling his story. Because we've never had this kind of trouble before. But, so... You guys were talking about that kind of thing. We lost Tracy. Oh, man, now we got all kind of people calling in. Okay.
We have any listeners calling in with questions or anything?
I don't want to talk to them. No. just kidding, folks. Just kidding. The way this is going, y'all hang in there. All right, let me see. Let me see if I can get Steve with us here at on this line. And I'm going to talk to him, and we'll see if he can hear. Dana, can you hear me?
Yes, Ray, I can hear you.
Holy crap, dude. It's like six people calling into the room, and it lets you through. Amazing. Rest of you callers, hang in there. Last 40487, and Christina Cutie. Yep, I bet you are. Hang in there. We'll get you on here in a minute. All right, so Steve, let's get that real quick for the... Long talk, your demon up there messes with us. So we're talking about death, going through the process. You were reading all kind of books for a couple of years studying death, and what did you find out?
Well, again, this is my interpretation that,
okay.
Again, like I was saying, there are three reasons why people stay here. One is if they've been murdered and there's been no justice. Secondly is if they're in denial. I don't believe they've died. And, of course, there are the third group of those who just don't want to leave, and they stay here.
All right. Yeah, I always said there's more than one because you hear that, well, they have unfinished business. Well, guess what? I know a whole bunch of people that died that didn't have unfinished business, and they still come back to these things. Like my grandfather went, his older fella. I think he could have lived a little bit longer if the family would have done what I said to do. But instead, they did the opposite of what I said to do, and he ended up dying. I said if they did what they did, he would make it a month, 30 days. And I think he maybe went ahead and did it anyway, and I think he lived like 28 days. So, you know, that kind of torqued me off. And
I don't
think,
blame
you. Know,
you.
He would,
I don't blame you, buddy.
Yeah, he could have lived another 2, 3, or 5 years if they had left alone what they went in and messed with. But who am I? Just stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
But most people we all have a time frame. You know, we're going to go no matter what. You know, if you believe in predestination.
Yeah.
I think that's the term. I'm kind of discombobulated right now. This phone tag has been crazy.
Exactly.
But, yeah, and I feel bad for all of those listeners out there who've been playing checkers, so to speak, or chess, trying to get this straightened out. The worst one, of course, are those who've been murdered, and their killers have not been brought to justice. They unfortunately have to, you know, because there is no closure. They live in that disbelief and even agony. Until they can talk, they can be heard.
Right.
Their story's been told. Once their story's been told, they usually can move on to the next level.
Right.
That's the one that bothers me the most, of course. So those in denial, well, they will figure it out. If they don't, then it's the same thing applies to them, that they have to tell their story, or they have to be told in that group, you know, that, look, you're dead. Time to go. You know, and most investigators like Steve and his crew and stuff like that, those are the people that are really helpful with that group because they get to let them know, right, Steve, that, you know, you're dead.
Well, we don't really, to be honest with you, though, we don't really concentrate so much on moving spirits on. We don't do private residences or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're really just strictly there to document whatever we can get in the way of evidence. If I have a chance to, if I really feel that I can reach a spirit and tell them to move on or help them in some way, I'll try. But I really don't feel like, you know, like I would be if there's an evil entity in a place. I mean, that's going to listen to me.
Right.
No one listens to me. I tell what I say, leave, and it's going to say no, and then I say, okay, goodbye. I leave.
Right.
Okay, hold that thought, fellas. Let's take some thought. We have the board lit up. Let's see what these folks have to say. Hold that thought, Dana. Okay.
Yep.
Caller ending in 0487. Let's see if it brings you through here. Can you hear us? 0487. All right.
Hello?
Christina.
Hold on.
0487.
Hi. I had a story for you guys. My ex-boyfriend, I think, is still with me. He died. It was kind of weird. I used to work for this company called the Bang Bus, and my boyfriend was on it, and he died while we were on the Bang Bus. And now I feel like the baby that we made is going to have his soul inside of it, and he's going to be trapped forever.
Okay.
No, not in my opinion, I don't think so. If I can explain what I think is happening, that...
is your phone number? Hold on just a second, David. 0487, is that you just telling the story?
Yeah, well, I'm just telling a personal story, because I think I feel him around me. Like, I feel him all the time. It's super creepy.
Okay. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Hold on, Steve. Hold on, everybody.
Like, I feel him inside of me, and I feel him trying to just get on my asshole sometimes and trying to just plug it all up, you know? And I don't like that. Like, it feels super weird.
This is a fake call.
Yeah, I know. We have, and you know what? He probably did get in there, and he probably died because you drove him to it. You know, that's how it happens now and then.
Yep.
All right.
Some people.
Yep. And, you know, assholes are like magnets. They attract other assholes. Let's see.
I don't know why. I found that very funny. I don't know why.
Just like opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
He's got one.
Yeah, right.
And most of them stink.
Yeah
right.
Yep.
Don't want to hear it. Okay. Let's try phone number ending in 7470. Can you hear us? Hello?
Hello?
I hear someone.
I heard somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody was knocking. Knock on wood.
All right. 0487, are you there? Hello, caller. Phone number.
No, that's good.
Yeah, caller in 7470. We got all night to part around with you. Go ahead.
You need a screener, Ray. You need to screen these calls.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I like to bring them in live if they get some sense. All right. So, Mike, let me see if Mike Davis is on with us.
Hey, guys.
Mike,
hello?
You there?
Yeah,
I'm
here.
Okay. What you got, Mike?
Hey, man.
Hey.
So, moving on from whatever they tried to do beforehand, I think, I have no idea what's going on, man. But, I live quite near a cemetery. My sister recently started playing around with a Ouija board.
Uh-oh.
Not only do we live quite near a cemetery, our house is actually based on it's based on an ancient Celtic burial site as well.
Really?
Like our entire kind of like area is based on an ancient Celtic burial site, including the graveyard itself is based on it as well. It was quite a big one. So my sister's recently been playing around with a Ouija board, and she hasn't really been seeing the effects of it, unlike myself. I've heard whispers in dark rooms and things like that, things have been just moving out of place, kind of say I'll have place down a piece of paper and face up, and then I'll go away, I'll come back, it's now face down. It's just small things like that, and like whispers in dark rooms. But one of the biggest things that recently happened to me, and I'd really like some advice on it, if that's all right. Basically, I kind of went down to my shed. It's kind of like a concrete little shed that we have at the bottom of the garden, and I heard one of these whispers again, quite loud, quite audible in the shed, and I thought I'll just ignore it, I'll just get what I want and I'll leave. And I heard it again, and it was like I spoke to someone else another show a few weeks ago about it, and they said see if you can call out on the spirit and tell them that it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
So I called out to the spirit and said, it's over. I don't want you here. It's over. And the spirit called back, it's not over until I say it's over.
Wow, he said that.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I heard. It's not over until I say it's over. And I went into the next room to go get what I needed to get from the shed in a panic, because I didn't know what to do anymore. I just wanted to grab it and get the hell out. And it was kind of like there was like a shadowy kind of, I wouldn't want to say that, it was kind of like an evil kind of shadow, or what I perceived to be an evil kind of shadow in the corner of the room, and it was staring at me, and when I turned around to leave in a rush, it kind of lunged at me and grabbed me and started shoving onions up my anus, and it was Shrek. Shrek was there, and he was just shoving. Shrek was just shoving onions up my anus, and he was yelling, "It's all over now, Lassie. It's all over now." And he was shoving onions up my anus, and
we have a lot of creative callers tonight.
Man,
yeah,
I burst through the door. Bro, I burst through the door. I got down on the floor.
I mean, did the onions feel good?
They felt amazing. They kind of slid right on. Eh? It was brilliant. I mean,
did you caramelize them?
They must have at least skinned them.
They
were skinned.
Yeah, caramelized.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure
you should have threw some peppers and some sausage in that. You could have pepper, sausage, and onions.
Well, they probably stuck right in because of the sausage that had already been there.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
So, man, I want to know, how do I end this? How can I get rid of this evil spirit? Because
I would bend over, grab your ankles, and say a prayer.
Bend over.
Help me, help me.
Okay.
These are those non-believers.
Yeah. If we have a serious callers out there who want to discuss serious things, or we're here.
Because I like that story.
I know. I was really, he had me pulled in. He was pretty serious,
yeah,
the accent and everything, but,
well, I kind of had a feeling that he wasn't, but I was like, well, we'll see where he goes from here, but okay.
Yeah.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt. He had me sucked in for at least part of it because, Celtic burial ground, and there are many of them in England, and,
right.
It's possible.
So, Dana, let's get back to your story. We're going to let everybody
there
that's into the butt-packing arena. Y'all go over and go into your own room, and y'all go over and entertain each other, if you get my drift, wink, wink, nod, nod.
I have the visual, Ray, and I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, take your sausages and play somewhere else.
Okay.
So, Dana, we were talking, you know, and that's what, you know, I kind of believe. I believe that there can be all kind of reasons why, and mm-hmm. I like, well, twofold kind of going back, layers of onions, let's say.
I keep thinking of that. I'm sorry.
People die because of different reasons. People stay here, I think, because of different reasons. I think they are the ones who have not fulfilled their mission, so they think. But like you were saying a minute ago, another layer of the onion, I am a fatalist. I've seen people that die I don't think should have been dead. I've seen mm-hmm. people live that, you know, I told them, I said, there's no way this person's going to live. I give them maybe another couple hours, couple of days, and I've been fooled. I've had one woman I thought was going to be dead within a day, and she actually came back and lived another 5 years. So, you know,
right.
I've been wrong, but I've also been right a bunch of times. So, you know, I think some people do stay here because they can't leave. Some stay because they want to be here. Others because they don't know they're dead. Others
right.
because they, you know, they tied their shoe wrong that day, bent down, a car hit them, and whatever the hell. They found the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are different reasons why people stay and why they go and that kind of thing. And there are assholes that you can't kill them.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've told doctors, I was like, there's this lizard brain thing. No matter how hard you try,
right?
You can't kill them. You know, you shove 10 onions up their butt, they keep going. I mean, what? How do they do this?
I can't get that visual out of my head, guys. I'm sorry. I can't. Oh, my God. What was that? I'm sorry. We're way off track here.
Yeah.
Let's reset, Ray.
If we you know what? We might need a screener.
I smell peppers and onions cooking somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I smell.
I shouldn't have brought that recipe up.
Oh, thanks a lot, Don.
No problem. Anytime.
Now. Yeah, we're... Sorry, I'm sorry, Ray.
I'm sorry.
So we were talking about serious subjects.
Yes.
Yeah, other than anus. So the death thing, you know, well, Dana had has the study, and I've actually worked on people that passed on and came back near death experience. Who was in the hospital where I work at, who.
Yeah, you should mention Ray. You should mention that you're in the medical field. That you know
right.
what you do.
Yeah.
Some people may not know that you're an RN. Did I lose everyone?
Nope, I'm here.
Right, I'm here. Ray.
Ray.
Oh my God! Here we go again.
Anyway, Ray's an RN.
Yeah, Ray is an RN. He did that both in the military and now in private as well.
I thought you were going to say he was a mortician.
No. And he's not a chef either.
But I'm sure.
Well, that put me right off French onion soup for a while.
Sorry about that. Yeah, somebody threw an onion in the.
Threw an onion in the mix.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was this guy actually died and had been in this area for like 3 hours and came to, but he didn't remember anything. But I've worked on people, mm-hmm. shocked them. One lady was weird because they brought her in by ambulance. I ended up shocking her like 3 times. We did a whole bunch of stuff. We brought her back, yeah. She came back, I prefer to use that term, and she actually knew my name, a couple other people's names in the room. She knew the medications we gave her, and she was an elderly lady in her 70s. This was back in the 70s, so there's no way she would have known about epinephrine and atropine and, you know, the whatever the hell else we ended up giving her. But, you know, that was a pretty cool event. So death, and Dana was... Tell your story, Dana, about your aunt real quick. We have very few times.
My aunt. I'll give you the one. I'll give you the other one. I'll give you the one I'm talking about when it's your time to go. This happened 20 something years ago. It was a dream, but they say that if you have a visit that's different from a dream, and I believe in those, if it's something that is very vivid and you can remember it next week. Well, I still remember this like it was yesterday, and it was 25 years ago. My dad had died, my grandfather had died, and in this visit, they were both walking up a walkway with me. I was with them. And we went to this long, long, long white building. And I could hear, and it had black shutters. I don't know why it had black shutters. And I could hear all these people inside with glasses clinking and the din of people talking like a party. And my dad and my grandfather looked really good. And we got up the stairs, and my grandfather went in first, I believe. And I was right behind my dad. My dad went and stopped in the doorway. And he looked at me and he said, "You can't come in. It's not your time." I've never forgotten that. And it kind of told me that, you know, all of our relatives are there. They're all having, you know, it's a whole different world over there. Once you get to that level, you know, above, you know, what I call the middle ground, the waiting room, because I think I call the purgatory God's waiting room. That's where he separates good from evil before they move here or there. So that's one of the stories. I've had others. I've had many others. I've had many experiences. I saw my first ghost when I was 5 years old. I still remember like it happened yesterday. Scared the onions right out of me. I'll never forget it. We were living in a tenement, and what happened?
Well, boy,
I come down the back stairs. I got to tell my wife that story. She'll think it's funny when I get off the phone. And I went downstairs to knock on the door to the neighbor. My mother wanted to see her. And I knocked, and I waited. And I was only five. I opened the door to the cellar, basement, whatever you want to call it. And I looked down there, and standing at the bottom was this stark white figure. It was a bright white. It was solid. And it was looking at the wall or doing something right there. And he turned, and he looked at me, and he had these black, black, cold black eyes. I booked it out of there as fast as my five-year-old legs could go. And I ran at least two blocks before I stopped and scared the heck out of me. You know, I mean, that's not the only one, but that was my first experience, and I never forgot it. So there is a life after death. There certainly is for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It depends how you behave here. That makes a big difference as to what happens when you do die, of course, in my opinion. Did that answer that question? Or that I still got onions in my head. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
They were really good.
Dawn, did you ever have an experience similar?
With being with somebody when they're dying, or the
no, just an experience like Dana described.
Oh yeah. I remember.
Where you witnessed something paranormal.
Oh yeah.
Right.
When I was younger, like, I used to have, normal things, like my brush. I would be sitting in front of me, and then I'd turn around to go get a shirt on or something, and then I'd go back to brush my hair, and my brush wouldn't be there. And look all around, and I'm like, where the heck did I put that brush? And then I go back, and it's in the same spot. So that kind of stuff happened to me a lot, but the night that I was sleeping, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and which I do sometimes when I'm rolling over or whatnot, and in the corner of the bedroom is this very tall, dark shadow figure, hooded shadow figure. Couldn't see a face, but you can see the hood and the shoulders, and it is almost to the ceiling, just staring at me in the bed. And I'm like, oh, my God, I lifted the sheets above my – I get startled, so I lifted the sheets above my head, and I was like, oh, my God. And it went away. But
– how old were you at this time?
This was just 10 years ago this happened.
Oh, so you weren't a kid.
No, I wasn't a child at all. And a lot more – I felt a lot of things from when I was a child. I used to get very nervous, feel the energy, saw a couple things, but it wasn't something that, you know, I was in a rural area, and you know, the older families, it wasn't something that you usually talk about, because, I don't know, in my family anyway, you don't talk about strange things growing up or whatever, so you had to kind of hold that in. So it's like, did I really see that, or am I making it up? Because you'd go and tell my mom, Mommy, there's something in my room, and, oh, you're just having a bad dream. So I'd end up sleeping with the light on all night long. You know?
Wow.
So, yeah, it was just very, very strange. So you start blocking it up.
Was your background Italian, by the way?
Mine isn't. My husband's is.
Okay.
I'm German. German,
okay, my
French.
Father. Well, they're kind of similar in the sense that they're very stoic.
Mm-hmm.
My father, you know, like I told Ray, if I was a kid, and I remember this, I was 5 years old, and he was a cop, and he worked nights,
mm-hmm,
and days and different shifts. They constantly shifted him around. Eventually, he became,
mm-hmm,
a lieutenant detective. And I had a nightmare one night, and I went to his room. I woke him up. I remember him picking me up, sitting me on his knee, and saying, if you wake me up again, you'll really have something to be scared of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he dealt with it. And I said,
yeah.
Yeah,
so kind of along the same
point.
Way.
He's
yeah.
got a good point. I said, whatever I was scared of ain't going to pan my ass, so I'm going to go back and deal with that. So I went back to bed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so.
Let's get back. Sorry.
Yeah.
No,
that's okay.
That's okay. Dana, so you got the book, you studied the death and dying. Did you?
After
I became
that.
What? I became what we were talking about a minute ago, being a fatalist. And I do believe that we have a certain amount of time here. And Granddaddy probably was meant to go out that way, but you never want to see your kinfolk or somebody you know make an exit like that before their time, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that, I'm a certifiable hypnotherapist, one of the two, and done past life regressions, that kind of thing. I think we do become reincarnated. That's my opinion. The research I've done, the clients that I have, and research what some of them told me, and one case, the guy, there was a young man in his 20s. He stuttered all his life. His dad actually brought him up, I think, from Newport News area here in Virginia. I regressed him, and in his regressive state, he started talking about being shot through the throat, and he carried that over into this life. And so I removed the arrow, metaphorically speaking, of course, and healed the wound and everything, and he talks perfectly normal today. So,
wow, that's strange.
Yeah.
And
that's amazing.
And that kind of, to me, in my mind, solidified that reincarnation is possible. Now, and again, maybe that guy stuttering, when he was coming through the universe of the sea or whatever and hit the womb, maybe that guy that was shot through the throat, his little thread of existence that exists after we die in that, you know, other world, maybe he got tangled up in that web like, holy shit, you know, I'm stuttering, I got shot in the throat. So maybe this guy didn't become back reincarnated. He just happened to hit that little thread that when he came through to hit his mama's womb, and he stuttered because of that reason. Now, do I care? No. But I have to say, you know, no, I don't care, but whatever he believes cured him. I didn't fix him. He fixed himself. Whether he did live a past life and came back and stuttered for that reason, or, like I mentioned earlier, I don't give a crap as long as it helps him and it helps. So I still believe in reincarnation. That's my thought on things. I have a hard time believing that a God would give you one chance. I don't see that as a kind, forgiving, happy God. If he only gives you one chance and you screw up one time, he's going to throw you in the pit of fire for eternity. Then that's not a good guy to follow. That's my opinion on it.
I've got to add that I didn't, Ray, for years, I didn't believe in reincarnation until I got a little bit older. And I suddenly, I've always had this affinity for the South, especially Virginia and the Carolinas. I could never, never understand it. You know, where is this coming from? Fascinated by the Civil War. You know, anything in that era just fascinated me. I read everything about it. You know, I wished I was there when it happened, you know, all 9 yards. When we took our first trip with our kids down to Florida from up in New England, as soon as we hit the Virginia state line, it was almost, and I said this to my wife at the time, I said, oh, I feel like I'm home. You know, I'm back home again. So, yeah, I agree with you. I believe in that. I didn't for years, but I believe in that. Have you seen that new show that's out there with the kids?
Yeah,
that fascinates me. Yeah.
Yeah,
isn't that fascinating?
It is. And I've been places in the military and other places, you know, and it was like I knew exactly where I was going. And they said, well, how do you know? I was like, I don't know. I just felt like I would go right. Well, one instance, I went back home. My grandfather, I was in the military. I didn't get to attend my grandfather's funeral. And we went up there, and that's not a big cemetery, but... you know, right up there with Mom and everything. She says, you want me to show you where he's at? I was like, nah. There was nobody else buried in the cemetery from the family in that area. And I went right through the cemetery and went right to the dude's grave. How do I know where my granddaddy was buried at? I don't know. I'd never been in that church yard before. I'd never been in that cemetery before. I've ridden up down the road. You know, maybe 20 times. Never even really noticed it was a church back there. But
have you researched it, Ray? Have you researched that gentleman that's in that grave?
Oh, it was my grandfather.
You don't try to find stuff out about him? Oh, I'm sorry, right. Isn't that fascinating, though? You know? The other side is complicated.
Yeah, but, you know, I've actually worked on people who was medically, and there was no medical reason why I would even think of something, but I was able to, I was like, well, why don't we try this? It's totally out of the norm, and it would help them. I think we all have that little intuitive thing in us if we can tap into it now and then. And we have Uncle Donald Duck on the phone. I mean, Uncle Donald Duck, hang in there, buddy.
They do say, if I can interject one more time, that 50% of the world's population do have psychic abilities, just out of fear or ignorance. You know, they don't become in tune with them. They don't practice it and let it grow. I believe I have them too. When I was younger, I had very strong feelings and things, but I didn't practice it or, you know, learn more about it. So it kind of dissipated. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Ray. It's a fascinating world we live in. It's not just this one place where we come and, you know, we live this life and then we're gone and we turn to dust and, you know, and all that. No, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, I think so.
I do agree with you, though. I think that you have it and you either can accept it and continue on and become more intuitive and sensitive, or block it. But then at some point, like for me, like I really know that I had that when I was younger. But when I started realizing, you know, you're going through puberty and all this and that, and it got scary for me. And I know I blocked it as much as I could, and I didn't want to have anything to do with that until I became an adult. And then it's just like it wanted to come out, and so then you start embracing it a little bit more, and then you realize, okay, it's all right. I didn't even talk about it until I was married. That's just, you know, how I kept that to myself. So I don't know if you were that way.
Are you talking about me, Don?
Dana, yep. I don't know if you were that way.
Oh, absolutely. I had some very, very strong feelings when I was a kid. And even as an adult, young adult, let me see if I can throw this in there. When I was in my 20s and early 30s, I had this ability. I don't know where it came from, but I could be standing outside of retail. I worked in retail security, and so we'd stand outside sometimes and have a cigarette, whatever, me and a couple of the other guys. And we could stand out there, and I could point out people who were just leaving the store, and I would tell these guys, that car there, that's their car. I didn't see them come in. I had no idea. It was a feeling. And it happened every time I mentioned it, I was right on. Many
mm-hmm.
other things, too, but we don't have time for it. But, yeah, you're right. That's what happens is we get afraid of it, and
mm-hmm.
we don't work on it, and it does
yeah.
dissipate and go down. But you can still
mm-hmm.
get it back. It
mm-hmm.
takes work.
I can remember the instance of when I knew that what I could feel or know
mm-hmm.
was something not normal. I was 6 years old, and I was in first grade. And like when you talk about knowing where something is, knowing where the car is,
mm-hmm.
I just knew where people couldn't find their stuff for some reason.
Yeah,
example, I had a classmate who couldn't find her mittens. And so I sat there and I just saw a picture in my head of her boots. And I was like, I think they're in your boots. So we walked straight over to the boots. And sure enough, they were in really at the end of the toe, you know, of her boots. Because
yep.
she was going all over the place for him. And her brother, older brother, yelled at me. And, you know, when you're 6 years old, that's scary. And
yeah.
and I'm like, okay, I won't do that again. And I
you
would.
You'd be different.
Yeah. I mean, you
yeah.
don't want to be different anyway when
right, right.
when you're little like that. So, but, yeah, that's, oh, amazing.
It's cool, though. I think it is.
I think it's amazing.
Those abilities, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting too old now to, I think, to try to bring them back. But the time that I had
so.
It was really good. It was really nice. You
yeah.
know, I've had conversations with people.
What was that?
I'm sorry.
How do you feel about taking a call? I don't.
Sure, as long as there's no onions.
Yeah. Well,
as long as it's legitimate.
I was going to bring that up. You know, the other day I was at the grocery store. And it was like, do I want yellow or do I want Vidalia? And
mm.
I went with Vidalia.
It depends on what you're making.
Well, you know, I heard you can pack more Vidalia onions in. Then.
Oh, my God.
So,
that guy needs a red onion. That'll hurt.
And he's probably had a couple of them, too.
You're better off with leeks. They're smaller.
Yeah,
that's
right.
True. Good point. Yeah. Lot less resistance there, but he's
yep.
probably used to it. But what was I going to say? Oh, the intuitive thing. Tracy's more intuitive than I am, of course, and I've had feelings, and you know, I've had things in the military where I trusted my gut, and I used
mm-hmm.
it, and it literally saved me. And
mm-hmm.
we went to Vegas, and I learned to tap into a part of my body. And when I listened to it, I actually made money. I made a lot of money there. And
uh-huh.
I just, you know, I'd say, okay, what's it feel like? And I got this feeling in my abdomen. And when I felt it, I was like, okay, I need to do this. And I would play a certain way. And I want enough money to pay for the vacation, put money in my pocket. And we all had a good time. The wife would lose some. I'd give her more, that kind of thing. So
I want to go to Vegas with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to come up to Jersey up there. Maybe y'all can come down and see
yeah.
can come down and give me money, and I'll have a good time.
Go to Atlantic
we'll...
City.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
Out. Yeah, really.
If there were two numbers in the lottery, I'd have the wrong one.
Yeah.
I'm as sensitive as a toilet seat. I have
you
no
know, you
feelings.
Can practice that.
I it's like I'm made out of concrete. I have really, I can honestly say this, I mean, I've experienced in locations a couple of things,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, it's like I have my instincts are, if I go against them, then I'll do well. My instincts
really?
Are always wrong.
Get it. Huh.
Maybe
I can tell you if go ahead.
No, go ahead. Tell us what you.
No,
were
I was
going to
say I can tell you a funny story that you know my younger daughter and I really connected, and we'll practice when we're playing cards or something, when we want to look up Trump, we'll say, okay, what's the Trump going to be? I'll look at the card, and she tells me, and I would say 6 times out of 10. I mean, that might not be very good, but it's pretty impressive when you do it in a row, and you pick the exact...
That's real impressive if you do it
in a row. The exact one, or maybe the suit and not the right face card or whatever, but yeah. But I just think that's kind of interesting, and my husband and my other daughter are like, oh my God, you guys are freaks, you know. But I don't know. I guess if I would say to like the younger generation, if there's any younger people listening, don't embrace, if you have these feelings and these intuitions, these abilities, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it makes you special, not weird.
Right.
And it can save your life, actually. Use that intuition. We all got it. You know, if something says don't get in a car with this idiot.
That's right.
You know, they have nice onions. Stay out of the car.
That's right. They have a case of onions. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm never going to put an onion in my hand again.
I will onionize you.
That'll be our secret code word if we don't like something.
Yeah,
onion.
Exactly. Onions.
Oh, my God.
We're all winding down here. We only got about 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Data, we appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us nuts with these onions.
Absolutely. It was, aside from that, it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
It's nice talking to you, the little bit I got to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely, Don. And Steve, same to you, buddy. Steve and I talk online a lot, but I haven't had a chance to thank him for getting me on the show like this. Appreciate it. Just one more time, I'll let everybody know that because Steve's been a big help to me since I brought Gail out in June, and I truly, truly appreciate it. Amazon.com, real simple. Just type in Gail or Veronica. It'll come up. You don't even need a Kindle. You can just get it on your computer. It's 80 pages. It's layer upon layer of detail. It's a very busy story. I've just been pushed into doing the screenplay for it, so I got to start this weekend. I think it would do very well. That's originally what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
It was a treatment for Hollywood, and I was told that they don't do that anymore. But so many people read it. They said, you really got to let people read this. So that's why I put it out there in ebooks, and that's why I charge so little for it. It's only $2.99. Just people so they'll be entertained and they'll read it. There's a lot of stuff in it, a lot of stuff. It's a very busy story, and I hope you enjoy it. And hopefully I get back on again with my next one. It's called Conversations with the Dead, and it's about Ouija boards. It's about the danger of Ouija boards. That's part of it. So I wish everybody well. I thank
you too. Likewise.
And I will be back again.
Thank you. Let us know. We'll get you back on. We appreciate you hanging out. And if I don't have a link up on the website, I'll have one up there to the your Amazon site. If not, like Dana said, just go to Amazon, type in Mail of Veronica. It'll bring it right up. It's Kindle version, right? And so you can get it immediate download, and you're off and running. Thank you. Tell the wife we're sorry to take up your evening, put you through that. Do not go in the house and start throwing onions around. Like,
it's very entertaining.
I want you to remain calm. And
I won't be caramelizing onions for a long time.
I don't want to hear of you abusing onions.
Yeah,
really. Oh, my
all right,
God.
Buddy. You all have a great night.
You too.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to move for an onion sandwich.
Onion sandwich? Call Mike back.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What end of the universe did these knuckleheads come from?
Oh, my God. Who knows?
I mean, really?
Anywhere.
That guy had me. I was wondering. See, I can see the board here, so I see everybody's phone numbers and all that stuff. So I saw a number from the U.S., and when he started talking about that crap, I was like, okay, let's see where this idiot's going. Because I figured he was pulling their leg, but I was like, okay, let's see what comes.
He did a good job of it. I have to admit, he did a better job than the girl did. It was probably in cahoots.
Yeah.
Actually,
well,
it was a both. They were both guys. the one guy was a guy too.
Really?
I
think that has to do with your former picture.
That's why he was
doing those onions to themselves. That's right. It's like, you know, PETA and animals.
Did we get anybody asking questions on the chat? Any serious questions?
The Blog Talk room and the chat was working absolutely not at all.
I couldn't log in at all. I thought maybe it was something I was doing, but I couldn't figure it out. So I just called in. I wasn't logged in.
We still have time for one to do her.
News.
Her news segment.
Yeah.
Do we have to?
We don't have to. I could save it for next week.
Actually, we only have. What do we got here? We only have about 3 minutes and 35. What do we call it? Official time left. But there is this thing called. What's it called? We'll see.
What's about?
I don't know. What's happening?
I think Ray is paneling somebody.
Hi, this is Don DeVito, delivering your edition of this week's Chronicle of the Paranormal. Paranormal.
All right.
Did it? Yeah. Oh, man, all the a-hole callers got cut off because I don't know why. Okay.
Well, I'll get into my first story because I think I probably only have time for one. But, you know, on August 19th, the CIA finally fessed up and confirmed what many of us already felt was true, that Area 51 does exist.
No kidding.
Yes.
Are you sure?
They recently declassified documents that refer to Area 51 by name, and describe some of the aviation activities that took place there. But they locate the Air Force Base.
Where is it?
It Groom Lake.
Oh, man. So it really does
Groom Lake.
Exist.
Yep.
Arizona?
And it
in
says
Mexico?
The... what was that? I'm sorry.
California.
Oh, Arizona, isn't it?
Arizona.
So it is there.
Yep,
okay.
And the 407-page document still contains many redactions, so who knows what kind of things could be reported in those missing sections. Maybe a confirmation of little green men, perhaps? I don't know. What do you think?
It's quite possible. You know what?
I'm surprised.
I'm surprised they denied it this long, because it's been filmed.
Oh,
I mean, there's definitely a face there.
Well, and they keep... They keep pushing back the secure perimeter. I mean, I think that used to be able to hike up on one of the closest mountain peak, but they've now made that off limits. So.
And if you go on it, they shoot you because it's classified. It's a classified area, and they have the right to use deadly force.
Right.
So, you know. I wouldn't
go on
there.
Real quick. I want to hold on just a second, fellas. Sorry, I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight.
Hi, this is Don DeVito, delivering your edition of this week's Chronicle of the Paranormal. Paranormal.
Yeah, thanks
for
tuning in and calling in tonight. Whether you're into onions or not, we really appreciate you calling in. And so Area 51 does exist, and, you know, we can end the episode, or we can actually keep going on unofficial time. Let's do it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the second piece of information?
Well, I had, you know, speaking of little green men, allegedly an alien head has been discovered by workers digging in a Croatian graveyard. Workers made the freaky discovery while digging the soil at the cemetery in the northern region of Medjimjeri. Sounds like Jimbury. But the local mayor there, Ivan Stefik, told the Croatian newspaper that the quote-unquote, the head smells of male perfume. I'm like, I don't know about anyone else, but if I unearthed what I believe to be an alien-type head, smelling it would not be on my list of things to do with it. But locals say the head...
I'd be like, hold on, fellas, is that onion? nope, it's male perfume.
Yeah, that's what...
How the hell do we know it's male perfume? I mean, is it
That's what the mayor said.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It must smell like some kind of a familiar cologne, which leads me to think, and now I'm going to just hypothesize for a minute, that if you dug up a head, depending upon how old it is, number one, it wouldn't have a smell. If it's very, very old, it's going to be dried out.
Right.
It's not going to have a smell.
Unless it's an alien.
And if it does have a smell and you're trying to mask the smell, you know, you could splash some cologne on it, but that doesn't make any sense because that would mean it's still going under the decomposition process.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it is an alien head. Maybe there's does not decompose like ours, and maybe when it ages over time, it does the reverse of an onion. It actually starts smelling better.
Well, you never know. You never know. But the locals say that the head seems to be similar to soft rubber, and it has a beak-like mouth. So the mayor has called on some scientists to examine it, so we'll have to just wait and see what the examination reveals.
Okay.
But I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is, but
and you don't
like
you can't
rubber?
See the pictures? Yeah,
I
like
that
a rubber.
Was only me.
A rubbery type. Well, I don't know, rubbery type, but they have a picture there, and it's a very strange picture. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be maybe something petrified, maybe it's a stump, you know, that just softened and
kind of looks like a skull.
Yeah, or maybe a pumpkin or a fruit or something. But it's just interesting that the mayor actually is having scientists look at it and examine it. So, it'd be really interesting.
In Thailand, did you ever see the thing about in Thailand? They had these. They have a tree that grows these little people. They believe.
What? Never heard of that.
Yeah, there's as a matter of fact, I don't know if you're familiar with the show Destination Truth.
Oh, yes, I love that show.
Yeah, me too. And that was one of the episodes they had where they went and looked at it, and it turned out to be a fruit that as it dries,
that one.
It looks like a little. It looks like a little alien.
Damn, I can't believe I missed that episode.
Yeah, maybe I missed that episode or something. I would have remembered that one.
Yeah, that's the, I believe it was Thailand. I have it on Netflix where you can watch the entire series. And I watch them over and over again because I think they're hilarious. I mean, I just like that show. I mean, they never really find anything, but they make finding nothing very entertaining.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I said. They've never found debunked one thing. They never found any creature anywhere. Ever.
They did find one piece of evidence in, I believe it was Tibet. I don't know if it was Tibet. Yeah, it was Tibet. They found a footprint, a fresh footprint, that made international headlines on one of their shows.
Whoa.
Where they took a cast of it. They weren't, and that
was
made
that
international headlines.
Was that a Bigfoot Yeti or something like that?
Yeah, Bigfoot Yeti, something
I did see that episode.
I saw that episode too, and they took it to have it analyzed, and there was no known animal in the whole system that it's connected with, or something like that. So that was like an amazing
discovery.
That one was
verified.
Yeah,
I mean that's what I like about that show, and I did like it. Was number one, I like Josh Gates.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's funny. He's entertaining. I mean.
Yeah.
He's witty, and I liked his original crew a lot. I liked Mike, the audio guy. I thought he was great.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So I'm a big fan. So I watch them over and over again.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I could watch them 100 times. I still laugh
right.
at them. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so I'm easily entertained.
Wasn't his name Sasha?
Yeah, yeah, something
like
that.
Yeah, and then they had Mike.
Yeah.
Mike was the audio guy,
right?
And
Rex
they had Ryder.
Medic.
I like Ryder.
Ryder, yeah, she's great.
She was always
Rex
getting
was
hurt.
Medic.
She was one of the clumsiest people on the show. Very athletic, though. But
oh
she,
yeah,
she was always getting hurt. She's
because
the one
she
who
was
went down
always
backwards.
Aggressive and out there,
yeah.
and yeah.
She went backwards.
What's the third story?
Oh, my third story. Are we still on the air? We're not on the air, right?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, we are. Oh, sorry. The third story is that it was reported on August 21st that a mysterious sea creature has washed up on the beaches in the Valera coast, Spain. The mysterious sea creature was discovered along the shoreline of Lewis Syrett Beach in the advanced stages of decomposition. A woman first discovered the head and then found the body farther down the beach. So the entire head and carcass with the head stretched 13 feet. And a statement from one of the civil protection officers there was quoted saying, "We have no idea what it is. It really stank," which I thought was kind of funny.
it really stank.
But I think anything in the advanced stages of decomp is going to probably stink to high heaven.
Nine times out of ten, I'm big into cryptids.
Right. Oh, me too. I love cryptozoology.
Yeah, me too.
Really.
I love them. And especially sea creatures and lake monsters. I don't know why those fascinate me. But nine times out of ten, what they find is it's a basking shark. Because when those decompose, they decompose in such a way that it resembles almost a plesiosaur.
Right.
Yeah, because they said it had two horns coming out the top, the front of the head. It almost looked like like a fairy tale dragon without the big body.
Yeah.
The way this decomposed picture looked, it was very strange.
So up north, I think it was on the Great Lakes. They are washed up on the shore. I don't know, y'all might have seen on the internet. This beach.
Oh yeah.
It was a dog.
Yep.
It's actually a boxer dog that had washed up, and the angle they took it at, you know. You can take a picture and make it. That's why I hate people sending pictures to me. Well, check this out.
Right.
Like, okay,
that was the Montauk monster, right?
Right. And that's what, yeah, exactly. I was like, well, show me a before and after. Well, I don't have it. Well, I don't have anything to compare it to, and I can't really make a judgment on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you about something that washed up on the shore in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I used to say, well, there's no way mega shark could be around. But what a lot of people don't know that whales actually migrate from our west coast to Hawaii. So if you go to Hawaii in the wintertime, the whales will go there because it's too freaking, you know, it's cooler there. So it's a good temperature for them. So they kind of go back and forth from Alaska and northwest to Hawaii. But something, and it's a joke, it's not, you know, a hoax, a whale, a very large whale, washed up on the shore. I wish I could remember that. I think it was Maui. It was bitten in half, and the back part of the whale was gone. And
I saw that documentary or show you were talking about. That was amazing.
Right, and, you know, I've seen sharks before, and they're kind of scary and when you're in the water with them. And,
oh, my gosh.
Not a great white could take the back end of a whale.
No, that's got to be way bigger than that.
It has to be a mega shark or a mega mouth or something huge comes up.
Yeah.
But what the way sharks usually do, the big ones, you know, well, they'll take like a seal and just come up under him and swamp him and take him under. But if it's a big one, what they'll do is they'll actually cut like a boat. They'll come up under the boat, knock the crap out of it like a whale.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just knock even the crap out of it. You know, they're coming from 2,000 feet down. They see their prey up there, and they'll just come up and knock the living snot out of it, disorientated.
Right.
Or, you know.
Right.
But, and then they take it, go to lunch, take it to lunch. And that's probably what happened to it. But there are things that there in the ocean. I saw a shark down in North Carolina when I was stationed down there in the 70s, and it swam right up to the bank. And I'm looking down on it myself and a military buddy. And that shark down there, and I swam down there in that water, dove in it. It was every bit of 20, 25 feet long.
Holy moly.
And we couldn't have got our arms around it, all three of us. This was, and it's kind of weird. It swam right up to the bank and then backed itself up and disappeared. And, I mean, it's the beach down there right off of Fort Macon is where it was at. It was at Fort Macon, and right down from Atlantic Beach, across the way there from Morehead City. And that was one of the biggest sharks I've ever seen. It was absolutely the biggest shark I've ever seen on the East Coast. I didn't think they made them that day here.
Wow.
And, it made me take pause every time I had to get in the water, because it kind of looked like a great white would look, but it was brownish in color. So I'm from the mountains. I'm not an authority on sharks. I know they will eat you.
Browner ones, I think, I'm not sure, but I watch this is really from TV. I watch a lot of, I like Jeremy Wade, River Monsters.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good show. And it sounds like, he said one of the most dangerous ones are bull sharks.
Yeah.
And I can they be brownish, or?
I think so.
Brownish? Yeah, gray maybe? Brownish? Yeah, they're different. I think they are a different color than like your great whites and you know, other types of sharks.
Yeah, no, I tell you, I had a friend who's very into fishing. It kind of freaked him out and stopped him from fishing for a while. He used to go fishing down on Staten Island. There's an army base, not really an army base. It's a fort, Fort Wadsworth. It was originally military. Yeah, military, and it was taken over by the Navy. He used to go down alongside the fort. There's a kind of a jetty that kind of, an old concrete jetty. And he used to fish off there, and it's a kind of isolated spot. You have to climb down, you know, this embankment to get down to where the water is. A lot of rocks there. It's not a regular beach. Nobody goes there. You know, he goes down there because he thought it was good fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fishing there one night, and he catches something that's really giving him a hard time on the line. Now, he's an experienced fisherman. It's a hobby of his.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fighting it, and he's fighting it, and he's fighting it, and he finally gets it. He's pulling it in. He finally gets it. He pulls it in. It was a dead fish.
Oh.
Half rotted.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Nick, no lie.
No.
That's what I want to know. He put his rod and his reel, which were expensive, down next to his fishing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Climbed out of there and never went back.
Really?
That freaked his ass completely out. And he had another incident down there prior to that.
Hold up, Steve. Could it have been that something was chewing on it? Because I have had a similar situation where
that's what I thought.
Rotted, but I was
fishing. Rotted.
Something
this
was chewing
thing,
on it.
That's weird. This thing was rotted. This thing was, unless it was digestive juices, maybe it was in something else's stomach, but it's peculiar because he was down there another time, and there's a very bad undertow under the Verrazano Bridge. This is right near the Verrazano Bridge, which leads from Staten Island to Brooklyn. And he was down there. This was earlier, and he had stopped for a long time. And he went. He was down there fishing, and he swears to this day, and it turned out it kind of was verified. He heard the sound of a little girl. Now he's down there all alone. It's at night. He hears the sound of a little girl doing that, you know, la 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 la, like a little humming.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
He turned to, from where he was looking, where he cast, and there was a little girl above the water, floating above the water. He claims, he swears he saw this, and
now,
he described
the little
her.
Girl, the little girl was out on the water?
Out of the water.
Out of the water.
Above the water.
Above, how far? Out, off the bank?
Well, this was off the banks. He said maybe about 25, 30 feet.
Really?
Where the undertow would be.
Oh, okay. So there was no chance of, like,
no. No, the freaky part of this is, and I believe the guy because I know him for years, and he described her to a T as having a white dress and holding a doll.
Oh, my gosh.
It turns out Vanderbilt, who lived on Staten Island, would take his boat sailing. This is Cornelius Vanderbilt. Would take his boat sailing, and his daughter, who was 6 or 7, in her white dress with her dolly, that was her favorite doll. She always had it. He verified it, went to the records, fell and drowned in that area.
Oh, my gosh. And she's probably still there looking for her family.
Before. Now, he saw this. Again, he stopped fishing for about 2 years.
Right.
When he went back, finally went back to it, he kind of justified in his head, maybe I'm hallucinating, it was coincidence, maybe it was the spirit of the little girl, he wasn't afraid of it anymore. When he caught the dead fish, the rotted fish, he put his stuff down, he quit for a lot of years, right? Now, he's not that old a guy, he's a relatively young guy. He quit for a lot of years. As he was leaving, he heard it waits.
It waits?
Oh, my God.
He actually heard, it sounded like it was in the wind, but being said to him, because you get a lot of offshore breeze.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it carried this voice that said, it waits. He didn't go back for, I would say, 10 years. The next time he went fishing, because he loved to fish, and he started just doing freshwater then, stayed away from the ocean. Second time he went back there, he fell and shattered his hip.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, was the girl and the fish in a similar area?
Yeah, right off that jetty.
Same place.
The jetty extends out. The jetty extends out, I'd say maybe 70 feet, 60 feet. It's like a concrete, picture a big concrete slabs jutting out into the ocean.
Right.
A lot of it's kind of worn away over time, but it's just a big concrete slab. He'd go out there and cast out from there.
Okay.
So that's got to be out quite a distance, and it's always down. It was down at this one beach. I won't mention where it is, but I believe the guy because I've known him for years.
So I'm getting a little older. I got to tie it together. So where he caught the dead fish that it fought him, and where he saw the little girl ghost, and where he
was more or less the same area in the same area, not maybe in the exact same spot.
Right.
You know, the same pulling it out of the water in the exact same spot, but it was in that vicinity around the edge of that jetty.
Okay. Did he ever
that
have
freaked
any
him out
anywhere else?
This guy?
Yeah,
he was involved in, he got involved in, early on, in meditation. And he started the practice of, like, this breathing of white light. And, he got very heavily into, like, the kind of Eastern stuff. And he claims that, you know, the house he lives in is very old. That's, what did he say that was from? I'm asking my wife. The house he lived in. Roscoe said it when it was built. She don't remember, but it's like late 1800s, mid to late 1800s, right? And he's seen a mist figure in his own basement.
Right.
Now, that could be, I don't know if that could be explainable because it's concrete and stone, that maybe maybe there could be some kind of water vapor that collects down there. That I don't know because I wasn't with him. But he claims that he's had a number of, you know, peculiar experiences like that. And the fish one really freaked him out because he was like an avid fisherman. And him to quit and quit cold for years and him saying that waits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hearing it waits. And then years later, when he finally did go back, he gets hurt. And
wow.
That maybe that was what was waiting for him.
Maybe
he's been warned.
That could be.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I'd heard that and seen the little girl, then I would be done with that area.
I would too.
I'd be living in Death Valley where there's no water whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that'd be like
I'd be getting you and I could go into business. We'll start an onion farm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
and we have special delivery for them.
Yeah.
Come get the onions.
Pack them in. Pack them in,
ship them out. That's the way it goes.
That's right.
It'll be like drug mules. What are you guys, carrying cocaine? No, it's onions.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, better out than in. Get them out.
See, this is a classy show, Dawn.
Yeah.
you didn't realize the intellectual pursuits of the unexplained would lead you to the onion patch.
I know. I mean, I just learned so much tonight. Sorry, I missed the first half. I mean.
Well, it was a pretty bad first half, actually. We kept trying to get Dana on for like 30 minutes, and the blog talk.
No.
Everybody that I know of that does do blog talk hates it, and I hate to say that, but it's a good platform. The thought of it, but something, I don't know, I guess so many people use it that it kind of, their servers kind of get bogged down or whatever.
Oh, that could be.
You know, always looking for something different, but.
Right.
You know, you get your nuts. This is the first time I've ever, and I did blog talk before, you know, we did AM, FM, and Google TV, and of course the other network that we were on that will remain nameless, but.
You've done a lot of shows, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Never had prank callers like this ever, so I don't know.
This is what I bring to the show.
No. This is, these are people who, you know, if they, you know, they may not take it seriously. They maybe just, you know, they think we're serious about it, so they're going to, you know, crack jokes or, you know, try to, you know, make us look foolish or whatever. But you know what?
Right.
You expect that because even on my own site, I get people who just, they don't actually comment. They don't say, well, I don't understand this piece of evidence you've shown. I show it on video. They don't question it. They just say a blanket bullshit.
Yeah.
And that irritates me. If you want to question it or you want to debate it, fine. But don't just say bullshit because why would I? I got no skin in the game. I'm not looking for TV. I'm not looking for anything. I do this out of my own pocket just to raise questions and have people discuss it. I thought, you know, there would be some intelligent discussion. And for the most part, there are some people who are very, you know, insightful in their comments and stuff. But you'll get the occasional moron who just says bullshit or, you know.
You know, most of those people who comment like that, they don't want to believe it because it scares the out of them, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if it scares them. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it scares them or it takes them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
I think it makes them have to challenge their
Ray, I
got to
buy you a new microphone. I can't hear. You sound you're very hard to hear.
Muffled a little. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, is this
any
better?
Oh, much better.
Yeah, much better. You sounded like your head was in a bucket.
A sponge. a bucket of onions.
Yes. Keep your head out of the bucket of onions.
Uh-huh. Well, I wrapped it up around
the
head.
Do something
new, healthy. Yeah. People are. Don't have anything.
Now you're cutting out.
That's not good.
No, that's not good. We're losing Ray.
Yeah. He sounded.
Well, here's Dawn and Steve.
And here's Dawn and Steve with.
Waiting for Ray. It's like waiting
for
Godot.
Yeah. Like.
Ray, where are you?
Oh my.